In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. As many of you know, my husband Lars Gren and I do a lot of traveling. I get invited to speak in different places. And we spend an awful lot of time in airports, and we spend a lot of time looking at people, watching people. A lot of the scenes we see are very depressing, such as parents who don't know how to control their children. And it's always sad to watch people saying goodbye and crying. But one of the most joyful things is to watch the reunions. Isn't it amazing to sit in a boarding lounge and watch people coming off the plane, and you see them with their eyes just darting all over the crowd of people waiting for that one loved face. And you see the people waiting, sometimes with great big signs or with their video cameras poised, for that one person that they're interested in who's coming off that plane. And then when they get to physical contact, the hugs and the kisses and the tears and the laughter, it's just a delight. Have you had the experience of someone you love very much being gone for a long time, or extremely ill and little hope of recovery, and then they come back or they're healed? Can you think of anything that has brought greater joy? After my husband Jim was killed, I dreamed for months and years of his return. And some of those dreams were so vivid that it was extremely difficult for me to believe when I woke up that it was only a dream. I was sure that he was somewhere in the house. And of course, those were wonderful dreams. In fact, I must confess, and my husband Lars knows this, that I still dream about husbands numbers 1 and 2, both of whom are in heaven, but occasionally I've even dreamed about all three of them in the same dream. But they're delightful dreams. And in the Bible, we have the parable of the woman who loses a coin, just one little coin. But in those days, a woman's wealth was represented by coins, which were sometimes strung and worn around their necks and around their foreheads. So to lose one of those coins was a very great loss. And the story says that when she finds the coin, she is so excited that she calls in her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her. Then there's also the parable of the shepherd, who has 99 sheep in the fold, but there's one that's out on the hills, lost. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out to hunt for the lost sheep. What joy there is when the shepherd comes back with that sheep on his shoulder. And so the Bible says there is great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more joy than there is over 99 who need no repentance. A few months ago, I lost my gold bracelet that Ad had given me. My husband Ad had given me a beautiful gold bracelet as my first Christmas present. And I lost it. I didn't know if it had been stolen or if it had simply fallen off my arm in spite of the safety catch or what, but it just wasn't anywhere. And then months later, I went to find the silver polishing mitts in a very special little secret place where I keep them. And would you believe I had put that bracelet in those silver polishing mitts? Completely forgot. That gives you an idea of the state of my memory. As I say to Lars, if he asks me to do something, write it down. If it's not on paper, I don't know it. I can't remember anything. And now, if I'm going to hide something, I put a note for myself in my purse, which I carry with me so that I'll be able to remember where it is when I get back. Be able to find where it is, I'd never remember it. Well, God's ultimate purpose in suffering is joy. When those people left on the plane, there were probably tears when they said goodbye, and there's tremendous joy because they come back. And even though we can't see how the sufferings that we are enduring can possibly result in joy or lead to joy, we know that the Bible promises that this is true. Now, let me go over once more the reason behind the name of this radio program, Gateway to Joy. I've had several people tell me that they love my program, Highway to Heaven. Well, that might be a good name too, but somebody else has got that one for a television program, I think. But this program is called Gateway to Joy. And the reason is because I believe that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. Jesus said that it is a small gate that leads to life. The Christian life is not a narrow life. It's a very large, broad, free life. But in order to enter the Christian life, we must humble ourselves. We must get through a tiny gate, and we can't get through with a load of sins and pride. We've got to leave them behind. So it's a small gate that leads out into the largeness of life. Christ himself had to humble himself and be born of a human mother. He had to humble himself to die on a cross. Those were the things which led to our salvation. And so, if we're going to follow one who went to a cross, we too must humble ourselves. Christ, the Bible tells us, was humbled by suffering. That's in Isaiah 53. And you and I need to be humbled by suffering. And yet, when the hard experience comes, when the loss occurs, if we will offer it to Jesus, it can be our gateway to joy. I've lost a lot of things besides that gold bracelet, and I haven't found them all. And the Lord says, leave them with me. I have a reason. You don't need to know what it is now. And my book on suffering, which I've been talking about, A Path Through Suffering, I wouldn't have written if I didn't have any more to say than mere descriptions of suffering and how we feel in the midst of them. The great question that I try to raise in this book is there a purpose? Is my suffering for nothing? Is it useless? Or is there hope for me? Is there comfort? Is there no balm in Gilead? In chapter 12 of my book, the quotation that heads the chapter from Lilius Trotter says this: observe the expression of abandonment about the wild rose calyx as time goes on, and it begins to grow towards the end for which it has had to count all things but loss. The look of dumb emptiness is gone. It is flung back joyously now, for simultaneously with the new dying, a richer life has begun to work at its heart. So much death, so much life. God's ultimate purpose in all suffering is joy. Scripture is full of songs of praise that came out of great trials. Do you remember the significance of the feast of the Passover? It commemorated God's deliverance from all those long years of slavery that Israel had endured in Egypt. The last day of the Passover was to be a pilgrim feast, according to God's command, so that they could tell their sons what God had done for them when he brought them out of Egypt, the sacrifice of the firstborn male of every animal and the redemption of every firstborn son were signs of this deliverance, sacrifices of thanksgiving. You remember the story of God miraculously saving his people from the chariots of the army of Egypt. You remember they were stuck there on the shore of the sea with the chariots coming full speed behind them and the sea in front of them. No place to go. What did God do? A miracle. Drove back the sea all night with a strong east wind. And what happened after the people had walked through? They sang a song of celebration. I will sing to the Lord, for he has risen up in triumph. The horse and his rider he has hurled to the sea. The Lord is my refuge and my defense. He has shown himself my deliverer. He is my God, and I will glorify him. After the greatest heartbreak, the prodigal's father experienced the greatest joy. He told them, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, kill the fatted calf. And the brother came along and heard songs and dancing and feasting. I had a letter from the wife of a long-distance trucker. And God bless all you long-distance truckers. I know some of you listen to me because you've written and told me so. And I think of what a lonely, what a rigorous life you have to lead. And this woman wrote that she was so thankful for what she called an unusual, wonderful marriage. Her husband has had this job for 2.5 years, but each time he comes home, it's like a new romance. I empathize with the single mothers going to functions alone, she said, making decisions, changing the car tire, going to bed alone. The loneliness is hard, but my heart would break over the bitterness of divorce and the permanence of death. I rode with him for 2 weeks this summer, and there is nothing romantic about long-haul trucking. How lonely to sit in a restaurant alone or have a weekend layover and not be able to attend church. My husband spends every day soaking up the Word, something it's hard to find time for at home. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems that God has given us special grace, and I cannot see that these areas, learning to take my hands off and trusting God, could have been exercised and strengthened in any other way. I think she's right. I think the happiness they have found is precisely because of the strain put on it by this man's job. Or rather, I would say, because of their response to the strain. May God help you to see in your suffering a gateway to joy.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.